So the scripture reading tonight is going to be taken out of the book of Acts. It will be in the second chapter, 38 and 39th verse, I think. Yep, 38 and 39. If you'd stand, please, for reading of the word. So Peter replied, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Amen. Amen. We'll be reading some other scriptures tonight, but when Pastor Steve asked me what I was going to preach on tonight, I told him the divine healer. And he looked at me, not divine helper. And he looked at me and he said, "Holy Spirit." I said, "Yep." So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. Holy Spirit's the third person in the Trinity. It's the one that exercises the power of the Father and the Son in us. The Holy Spirit is how the Father and Son operate in us. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Helper. It's the source of power by which believers come to Christ and see with new eyes of faith. No one receives the Holy Spirit before they get saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit in you until you get saved. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be your helper. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Scriptures. He helps us with spiritual gifts. We're able to discern things because of the Holy Spirit. When we look at the gifts of the Spirit, there are things that operate in the church that operate because of the Holy Spirit. When we have prayer at the end of the service on Sunday morning, it's the operation of the Holy Spirit that works for that prayer to be answered. Remember, I said a minute ago that the Holy Spirit is the third head or the third person of the Trinity who exercises the power of the Father and the Son in us. So when I stand here on Sunday morning and I pray for you, whatever you come for prayer for, you may be discouraged, you may be grieving, you may be sick. When we pray, the Holy Spirit causes Jesus to be a part of that prayer. Check your head, Andy. Thank you. He's giving me that look. I said, "Oh, I done said something wrong." So in the book of John, the Holy Spirit appears in the Gospel of John as the power which Christians are brought to faith and help to understand their walk with God. When we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes, helps us to understand. In John 14 through 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." The Spirit of truth. In verse 17, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. There's a distinct difference in the Holy Spirit's work between the Old Testament and from Pentecost on. So if you go back into the Old Testament, we'll find all kinds of scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit. But it never talks about the Holy Spirit coming and staying. In Judges 6:34, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet." The Holy Spirit came on Gideon. Didn't say it stayed, said it came on Gideon. So if you in Judges especially, in Psalms in places, in Samuel, the Holy Spirit comes on people for a season, just for a time. Not like when you accepted Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came on you and stayed. So until Pentecost, the Holy Spirit never came to stay. The Holy Spirit came upon certain people to do what God's will was in that particular instance. Didn't stay, just came and left. Under the new covenant, Jesus ushered in through his death, resurrection, and ascension, the Spirit forever dwells in all believers upon their initial confession of faith. Then through welcoming his overflowing fullness, believers receive the Spirit's power for ministry, servants, service, obedience, and sanctification. So we receive the Spirit's power for ministry, for service, obedience, and sanctification. Romans 8, 3 and 4 says, For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Christ's work on the cross released believers from living in the flesh to living in the Spirit. Again, before we received the Holy Spirit, before we accepted Christ, we didn't have the Holy Spirit. When we accepted Christ, sinful flesh was put behind us because of what Christ did on the cross for us. When that happened, then we were able to operate in our relationship with Jesus. Before then, we didn't have any power. We didn't have any understanding. We didn't have any authority. We couldn't do all the things that the Holy Spirit helps us to do. We received power for ministry, service, obedience, and sanctification. If you have a charismatic personality, you may be able to take what you know in the Word and share it in a way that tickles people's flesh. And that's about all it does. But once Christ comes in, once the Holy Spirit is applied, you are equipped to minister. And minister does not mean preaching. Everybody in here is a minister. You're a full-time minister. Some of you are disguised in different ways. You know, I was disguised as a VDOT worker for 38 years, but I ministered. Each of you minister in your own way. God has a specific ministry for each and every one of you. And whatever you're doing, the expectation is that you can minister in whatever it is you do. So we are equipped to minister because of the Holy Spirit. We are equipped to serve because of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of ways you can serve. Just think about all the ways that we can serve people. Angie is very involved with Total Action for Progress. Very involved. She is the head of the local board of commissioners. Chair, is that what it's called? She's a chair of the local board of commissioners. Total Action for Progress serves our community in many different ways. They have housing programs. They have daycare programs. They have early learning programs. They have intervention programs, all serving the community. Susie serves at Safe Homes. She serves women in distress, let's say. Most come in, they're in distress for some reason or another. She's there to serve them. She is equipped to be of service because the Holy Spirit's in her. That gives her the ability to serve. It gives us the ability to be obedient, to walk in obedience. There are many ways we can walk in obedience. There are many ways we need to be obedient. Children need to be obedient to their parents. Many of us have bosses where we work. There is an obedience that's required to that person that we work for. In the church, there's an obedience required to the teachers. I may be in Robin's class. Then I need to be submitting to Robin as the leader of that class, be obedient to what she needs, obedient to what God is telling her. So we have an obedience to what God wants us to do, and it comes in many different forms. But He gives us the obedience, the ability to be obedient, to have obedience. We're sanctified because of what Christ did on the cross. The Holy Spirit coming in and being a part of us gives us sanctification. So I'm going to look at three key points that should have a huge bearing on our daily walk with the Lord. The first is prayer. Jesus prayed sincerely, He prayed faithfully, and He prayed often. He was one with the Father, but in His humanity, He depended on prayer to let His requests be known. Jesus needed to pray. Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, lived in a human form, and He needed to pray. How many of y'all are in human form? Everybody? So Jesus in a human form needed to pray. Should you need to pray? It's instrumental in my walk with God. I need to seek God. I need to fellowship with God. I need to be in relationship with God. Part of my communication with God is my prayer life. Another part of my communication with God is my listening life, listening to God. It's a two-way conversation. So prayer is the first step or the first key for us in this walk, in our journey with the Lord. The second is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to benefit us for the sake of Christ. I've talked a little bit tonight about how the Holy Spirit was sent to and how He is to bring to us, to what He is to bring to our lives. Without the Helper, we cannot live consistently, faithfully, obediently, or powerfully. So if we think about living consistently, are you known as a consistent person? Are you consistent? Do people see you as the same consistent? Do you handle every situation even keel? No ups and downs? Don't bring a lot of drama into it? Consistent. As we grow in our spiritual walk, as the Holy Spirit becomes a part of us, we are able to walk out our relationship with the Lord in a consistent manner. So when I'm experiencing things, no matter what it is, I should have that same even keel all the time. I shouldn't be up here one minute and down here the next. I shouldn't be fussing about this and not worrying about that. It ought to be kind of consistent. operating consistently. And that's hard to do. I don't know about y'all, but you know, there are certain things that are important to me. Family's important. If somebody does something to a member of your family, do you get riled up? That's normal. That's okay to feel that. But how do I handle that in the same manner I handle everything else? We go back to the first one and pray. We trust God. We believe that what we are told in the Word is true. And we operate from that perspective. Man, see how easily that came out? A whole lot harder to do it. But that would be my goal, to be known as someone that's consistent. You don't see a lot of highs and lows and a lot of craziness. Drama is the best example of being inconsistent. When there's a lot of drama surrounding me, I am not being consistent in my walk with the Lord. He wants to give me the ability to be at peace. And for me, consistency and peace kind of go hand in hand. I caught myself a while back saying, oftentimes I would say I'm tired. And I felt tired. What I was really saying is I've strayed away from God and I'm handling it. That's tiring. You know, if I'm trying to run the show instead of God, I should be tired. But that's a new thing for me now. When I say I'm tired, my mind should go to, you must have stepped away from God. Because when I'm tired, like I said, I'm trying to run things. And that is stressful and tiring. So, without the helper, it's hard to live faithfully. Faithfully. That would mean that I have the utmost faith in the Father. How do we get faith? We get faith by our actions, by the way we react and deal with things. I used to use the example of an auto mechanic. If somebody told me, Wayne told me, he said, I got the best mechanic in the world. You take your car to him, he'll go fix it. I've never been to this guy. I don't know whether I can trust Wayne or the mechanic. So I have no faith in the mechanic and very little faith in Wayne. I'm just joking, Wayne. I know that. But I don't have any faith in the mechanic because I've never used the mechanic. He's never touched my car. All I know is Wayne said this guy is a good mechanic. So I step out in faith and I take my car to the mechanic. That guy fixed it. Didn't charge me too much. Did a good job. Satisfied. And I appreciate that, Wayne. I appreciate it. But you know, so I listened to Wayne. I went and got the car fixed. The guy fixed it. So then I thought, well, you know, Wayne, he wasn't leading me astray. This guy wasn't too bad. He fixed my car. So I got a little faith in him now. Next time I need my car fixed, I try the same mechanic. Fixed it again. This guy ain't bad. Done fixed my car twice. Next time, take it, fixes it again. That's three times he's fixed my car. You know what's happening? My faith is growing in this mechanic. So as I apply faith to my relationship with the Lord, my faith grows. If you come to me and say, will you pray for me? And I pray for you. But I ain't sure God's hearing my prayers yet. I'm new at this. I just don't know. But we'll pray. Daggone, prayer's answered. Prayer's answered. There's something to this stuff. This is a real deal. My faith should be stronger the next time I pray for you than it was the last time I prayed for you. My faith is growing. It's growing because the Helper is with me, the Holy Spirit. He's allowing me to see things happen, miracles, seeing miracles happen. So as my faith grows, I become faithful. It's faithfully now doing this. I faithfully take my car to that same mechanic. I faithfully go to the Heavenly Father to petition Him on your behalf because I know that He's going to answer that prayer. He does what He says He's going to do, and I don't have to doubt it. So as I operate through that process, working on my faith, growing my faith, Holy Spirit helping me to understand, guiding me and directing me, it grows. And I trust. And I believe. So at the end of all that process, I'm faithfully trusting and following Christ. Following Christ and the teaching again and with the Holy Spirit involved in what's happening. See, the Holy Spirit's playing a role in everything that's going on. Jesus said He would send me a helper when He left. When He ascended, He said He would send us a helper. A helper that would do greater things than He did. We can talk about that all night long, greater things than He did. How could you do anything greater than Jesus? What can we do that's greater than Jesus? That's tough. That's tough to think about. I know that one thing I can do that's pretty darn great is lead somebody to the Lord. Introduce somebody to Jesus. That's pretty powerful. He gives us the ability to do that through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you to who you need to talk to about Jesus. If you're willing to allow that. If your faith has grown to the point that you trust the Holy Spirit to take you in the right direction. The next part of that relationship with the Holy Spirit is the obedience, the obediently trying, the obediently following, obediently in submission to the Father and those in authority over us. And we only can do that through Holy Spirit power. I am a type A personality. I don't like to admit that, Temple. I am a type A personality. That oftentimes makes me want to lead. How can I be in submission to somebody if I'm leading? Do you remember going to Pittsburgh, Lori? And Jim Petty had to lead the caravan. Ah, gosh. God bless him. We take 15 carloads of people and we go to Pittsburgh to a conference. And Jim was the pastor. You're not going to believe it. He was a type A personality. So I was messing with him. We was going up the road, and we stopped at a rest area up on the Interstate 76, I think, up somewhere up in West Virginia. I went up to him and said, Jim, I got to lead, man. I said, I've been three cars back all day long, and I got to lead this caravan for a while. He said, okay, and he let me lead. So we're about 10 miles outside of Pittsburgh. Boom, right on past me. Back in the lead he was. Took us all home. I understand that. I understood it. Because that's the way I am. I knew why he wanted to lead. And I had grown in my spiritual walk to the point that I kind of laughed as he went by. But we have to learn to be obedient to the Father. I need to learn to be in submission to those that have authority over me as a pastor. That doesn't mean I'm always in submission to the pastor. It depends on what role we're in and what we're doing. You know, it just depends on who's in what role. The hard thing to do is if you are a type A personality, is to learn to submit to other people. But it's like Sunday school, adult Sunday school class. Jody teaches, Angie teaches, Lainey teaches, Sarah teaches, Tom teaches, and I teach. Whoever is teaching is who we all should be in submission to. They're in a role in that class as a leader. So my role at that point is to be in submission to that person that's leading. If Angie's teaching, she says, Tom, would you hand out the pencils? The proper response is, yes, ma'am, I sure will. But, you know, that's what we learn. We learn. We learn to be obedient to the Word. We learn to be obedient to the Father. We learn how to be in submission to others. And the circumstances change who we're in submission to. But we always need to recognize that person that's in authority. I'm going to have to read here for a minute to figure out where we're at. Powerfully, that's the next word, powerfully. Operating powerfully. How many of you feel empowered? Do you feel empowered? Do you feel like your relationship with Jesus Christ empowers you? Do you feel like you can take authority over the enemy? Do you have that kind of power? Or do you need to cower and surrender and hide? Because of Christ, we have complete authority over the enemy. Only through the power of His name, with the help of the Holy Spirit. In and of myself, I don't have any power like that. But when I can speak to a spirit and tell that spirit to be quiet in Jesus' name, it's got to listen. It doesn't have a choice. That's the kind of power you have. You have power over principalities. Just because of Jesus in your life and the Holy Spirit working through you, do you have that power? So when we're thinking about powerfully walking in Christian maturity, following Christ, and the joy that He set before us. Following Christ and the joy He set before us. When He went to the cross, did He go with joy? I think we can find a scripture that says He did. So the first was prayer. The second was relationship with the Holy Spirit. The last is responding to sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. not weakened by the flesh, but walking in power with the influence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Not walking in the flesh. We're beyond that. We accepted Christ. The Holy Spirit's working in our lives. We're able to walk in power. The Holy Spirit will convict us of any sin that's in our life. We're not weakened by the flesh anymore. We don't have to succumb to the flesh. We don't have to listen to the flesh. We have power and authority to tell the flesh to behave. That's hard too. That's hard sometimes. I'm thinking cheeseburger, but y'all can think what you want, but yeah. When you put a big cheeseburger up in front of you, you know that thing, I shouldn't eat all that. It's going to mess my heart up, go clog my arteries, and I eat her anyway. That's succumbing to the flesh. I should be able to tell my body what it's going to eat and what it's not going to eat. When you set that whole pizza down in front of me and I choose to eat that pizza, I've submitted to the flesh. And I'm just, don't mean to be just sticking with food. There are other areas that we can fail in. Food seems to be the one that I struggle with the most. Conviction is not a feeling of guilt, but a heartfelt recognition of and sorrow for having disobeyed our Lord. We'll read that to you one more time. Conviction is not a feeling of guilt, but a heartfelt recognition of and sorrow for having disobeyed our Lord. Just as the Holy Spirit convicts us, He is the agent of conviction for the world. When we live our lives without spending time with the Lord, our hearts grow numb. Have you ever experienced that? When you kind of stray away a little bit and all of a sudden the flesh is a little more tempting. Whatever it might be, it's a little easier to succumb to those things because I've drifted away a little bit from God and my head's a little numb. And it makes it easier for the enemy to come in and bring those fleshly desires and those things that will hinder me and drive me down, and I don't recognize the conviction as easily as I did before. That's real. That happens. It happens to, I don't know about y'all, it happens to me. I think it probably happens to all of us from time to time. I don't know about y'all, but I have routines. I do soap most days. I know when I miss. I have some devotionals I read most days. I know when I miss. If I miss them all for a week, it's borderline trouble. It's so easy to get out of the habit of reading God's Word. It's so easy to get out of the habit of studying God's Word. It's so easy to get out of the habit of listening to other pastors and getting their take on what's happening. You know, I read, what's the guy's name? You got his book right there in your hand. Rick Warren. Read every morning. Can't even think of his name. Daily Hope is his devotional. Greg Lowry. Read him every morning. Except he don't do one on Sundays. I guess he thinks I'm supposed to be in church. And then there's another one. It's called Daily Prayer. And I usually read it. So I read those three, and I usually read the soap scripture. And it keeps me balanced. It keeps me level. It helps me to start my day. It gives me a good foundation for the day. But if I get up late and I've got to be somewhere early, I'll read it when I get home. It doesn't happen. A few days of that, my mind starts getting numb. I'm not paying attention. I'm not on my game. That's what happens. I get off my game. It's real. So I have to focus. I have to focus. Or those convictions that the Holy Spirit sends me, without the continual recognition of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. When my mind starts getting numb because I haven't done what I usually do. That conviction that the Holy Spirit sends to me is not as recognizable as it was. So it's easier for me to give in to the flesh simply because I got off my game. I wasn't doing what I'd been doing. I had slacked off a little bit, and all of a sudden, the conviction didn't come. It came, but I didn't recognize it. So without the continual recognition of who we are and who He is, we tend to become cold and apathetic to the things of the Lord. The conviction of the Holy Spirit becomes less and less discernible. Man, I don't want to live like it. I really don't. I welcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I want that. Go back to the consistency. If I'm not feeling the conviction, the consistency starts to wane, starts going up and down. Next thing you know, y'all called me a drama queen. Drama king, excuse me. So when we get to that point, when we get to the point where our heart's numb, where we're not hearing or feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, something else happens. We might take it upon ourselves the task of pointing out other shortcomings. We might take it upon ourselves to start pointing out other shortcomings. Yes, it is. That's not something we want to do. We don't want to point out other people's shortcomings. It's not our job. I'm a sinner saved by grace. If I point out anything to anybody, it should be where they can find forgiveness and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are the only things that I should be pointing out. But it's so easy as we stray to start pointing out somebody else's shortcomings. And it's like Lanny said, it's a whole lot easier to look at them than it is look at ourselves. Jesus points the way to joy. A defined quality of character that is possessed and given only by God. It's rooted in relationship with the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author and finisher of our faith. Joy that was set before Him enduring the cross. It's hard to grasp the joy set before Him enduring the cross. That was a terrible thing. But the Scripture says the joy He endured on the cross. Because He knew why He was doing it. He knew what He was doing. And He knew what He was doing for you. That's where the joy had to come from. There's no other way. No other way. Jack Hayford said that joy is derived from the confidence that the price of dying to our will holds the inevitable certainty of eventually realizing the triumph. For Jesus brings sons and daughters into fellowship with the Father. It was His delight through the cross was the meaning of the eventual joy. I'll read that to you one more time. Joy is derived from the confidence that the price of dying to our will holds the inevitable certainty of eventually realizing the triumph. For Jesus brings sons and daughters into fellowship with the Father. It was His delight through the cross, which means the eventual joy. Bringing us into relationship with Him is the eventual joy. So when we received Christ, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came to help us. He became our helper, our advocate. There's another experience we have with the Holy Spirit that doesn't come at that time. It comes at that time when we seek the Holy Spirit. I don't know if any of you ever have experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit to the point that spiritual gifts become a very active part of your life. But that didn't come when you first received Christ. That most often comes when you seek after it. I'm going to tell y'all a story and I'm going to quit. So I wanted the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I wanted signs and evidences. I wanted the speaking in tongues. I wanted the whole nine yards. I was after it. So I decided I was going to fast and pray until I received it. I lived in Clifton Forge on McCormick Street, and a lot of mornings I walked up Rose Street Hollow toward the mountain to Hot Springs. Didn't go up the mountain, just walked toward it. So I was walking up the street praying. I had started my fast. The best time to start a fast is when you go to bed, because you got like 6 or 8 hours on that thing before you ever get up. So I'd started fasting the night before. So I'm walking up the road. I've been up a couple hours, so I hadn't eaten breakfast. So I'm walking up Rose Street Hollow and I'm praying. I said, "Lord, I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit." So I'm walking up there and I'm praying. And all of a sudden I'm praying in an unknown language. I had received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what my first thought was. I got to wait 24 more hours before I can eat. I was grateful though. I was thankful. But it did cross my mind. Man, I said I'm going to fast for this amount of time. I got to fulfill the fast. But that's the way it happened for me. I've prayed with people right here at this altar, that same prayer, and seen them experience the Holy Spirit coming into their life. Every person that receives that infilling of the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily speak in tongues. There are many gifts that are associated with the Holy Spirit. In my case, they all operate at one time or another. They never operate together. Well, maybe a couple of them, but not the whole thing. But I experienced them all at some point in my life, sometime or another. That's available for each and every one of you, but it's not because you accepted Christ that you got it. It's when you seek it that you get it. The Holy Spirit came to help you. There's no doubt about that. When you received Christ, the Holy Spirit came and helped you. A lot of people start to understand the Word. Have you ever had somebody say, "I don't understand the Bible"? Maybe they need to get saved and let the Holy Spirit help them to understand the Bible. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that if you're saved, you will understand it. And that happens at salvation. The gifts of the Spirit happen by honestly, earnestly seeking. I'm going to go ahead and close, warn you. Let me go too long. But one good thing about not being able to see, I ain't got a clue what time it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. Father God, I hope that something that was done here tonight, something that was said here tonight, impacts somebody's life, Father God. Lord, I just pray that you would just move through this place and allow your Holy Spirit to sweep through, Father God, to change lives, to set people free, Father God, to help each and every one of us experience the joy that can only come from you. And have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit, that third part of the Godhead. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all you're doing, all you've done, all you're going to do. And again, we give you praise, honor, and glory in Christ's name. Amen. If anybody would like prayer for anything, feel free to come up. We'll get a couple people up here from the prayer team. I hope.